We're so glad that you could join us today. What a blessing it is to be able to get together. This is an amazing thing that we have going. In the worship songs, that first song that you heard, Sing Hallelujah, Let the Words of My Mouth and the Meditation of My Heart, that's a song that Seth wrote, and hopefully will be on our worship CD, which will be coming out later in the year. And, God has called me to do the job and the work of an evangelist. But at the same time, I have always had a pastor's heart. And when you're going out, of course, you can't stay in and minister to people. And so now I am so blessed and so pleased that through the magic of the media, we're able to actually go out and do the work of an evangelist and also be home for Sundays to minister to all those who would want to tune in here. It's really is such a joy, such a blessing to be able to join with each of you today. I just can't tell you what a joy it is. We appreciate your comments and your emails. Let us, before we go into the message today, let us just turn to God in prayer. Oh Lord God, we just praise you that you are a faithful God. You are a faithful God. And that you will be faithful to complete the good work which you have begun in each of our lives. That you will be faithful to complete it. And Lord God, we pray that you would do a great strengthening and a great separating work among your people, O Lord God. That your people would be called out unto yourself, O Lord God, and dressed in fine white linen, O Lord God, and holiness unto the Lord. We pray, O Lord God, that you would do a great work today to extract your people from every bondage, from every compromise, from all worldliness, from everything that would slow each of us down, that you, O God, would be faithful to deliver us, O Lord Jesus, and cause us to stand before you with rejoicing when you come. Please bless this message, Lord, and let it go straight to each of our hearts that we might think of it and dwell on it continually. We praise you for this time that we have together and ask you to bless it in the name of Jesus. This week we're going to take up again on the theme, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? That is a very, very, very pertinent question for each one of us. Now, we have many difficulties in our service to the Lord and what we do. We encounter, well, a few difficulties, a few problems and troubles. I had a dear friend who said the other day that they were very envious of our lifestyle, that we have a nearly idyllic lifestyle. And, I just had to laugh at that one because it's so difficult by times that if it were not for God strengthening us, there's no way that we could go on. And we will be sharing a few things, a few more stories from our journal and our diary. We'll be sharing in our email newsletters over the next couple weeks. So if you want to check them out, I decided to share a few of the things that we've been going through in the last year or two. Certainly makes interesting reading, if nothing else. But the question is, why do we do this? Why do we do this if there's absolutely no money and always hardship, difficulty? Why do we do this? Well, that's a good question. And the answer to that question is this. God has given us a wonderful vision and a wonderful mission. And that mission and that vision is that there would be multitudes of people who are raised up in the Lord, whose robes are washed, whose lamps are lit, who are waiting and ready for the coming of the Lord, so that when he comes, we can say, yes, there is faith on the earth. faith to meet the Lord. And I love that verse which says, to those who are eagerly awaiting the coming of the Lord, His coming will not even mention sin. That there will be no mention of sin to those who are anxiously awaiting the coming of the Lord. And that is a great promise. And my vision is that there will be many, many people who will be a great bright spot when the Lord comes. That He'll look upon the earth and He'll look over in this corner and He'll see a bright light of many people, a multitude of lamps that are lit and held up, that when He comes, His heart will be cheered and will be gladdened because He will see that precious remnant that is so longing for His coming and is so awaiting His coming that there would be a fire of love that would even gladden the heart of God. And that is our mission. And the reason that we do this is because we want you to be part of that wonderful group that's dressed and is ready and is waiting for the Lord. Not shrinking, not running or hiding or calling for the mountains to fall upon you, but you are ready for the Lord because you've prepared as He has instructed us and you're ready to go. And that's our delightful and our wonderful mission, is that you would join us in this great preparation. Now God has given us some good and effective tools in this great work of separating ourselves out unto Him. He's given us some great tools. And one of the most effective tools that we have right now is what we call the Fellowship of the Unashamed Commitment. And that is a commitment to begin to seek the Lord every day and put aside all worldly entertainment, worldly music, worldly videos, worldly everything, setting it aside so that we might escape the corruption that has come into the world and be prepared for Him. Now, it says in Revelation that the great harlot in the last days will pour forth immoralities upon the earth, and that the world will be drunk with the wine of the passion of her immorality. If anybody is wondering where we are in the prophetic clock of the last days, that's where we are. We are in the part where it talks about the world being intoxicated and drunk with the wine of the passion of her immorality. And so we see that our society is so filled with perversions, is so filled with violence, that there is not one person who is unaffected by it. And it is a bombarding, it is a complete flood that has swept over all the society and all of God's people. How do we get separated from that? Well, God has given you some support. He's given you a support group. He's given you a group of brothers and sisters who have made a commitment to turn off all the worldly media and to turn their faces to the Lord and to begin to walk after Him with all their heart and all their strength. He's given you brothers and sisters, you may know some, you may not, but they're there, who have made this commitment. They've taken the Fellowship of the Unashamed Commitment to turn away from worldly media in order to seek the Lord. And we want you to join. And there's many of you who have joined. And there's many of you who have come forward at our concerts or at our Bible studies, and you have said, you have stood up, you have literally come forward, and we have prayed together to make this commitment to seek the Lord with all of your heart. And many of you are struggling right now, and you need some help to keep walking with the Lord. And that's why we're here today, is to strengthen you and to encourage you and to tell you you've got brothers and sisters everywhere who are making this stand for Christ. And for those who haven't done it yet, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go to our website, theskies.org, and I want you to find where it has the Fellowship of the Unashamed Commitment, and I want you to print it off, and I want you to read it, and I want you to sign it in the presence of witnesses, and I want you to join up with this group of brothers and sisters who have decided to sell everything to obtain the pearl of great price. We want you to join that group because the media is so pervasive and the immorality is so great that it takes a radical commitment to escape the tenacious grip that these things have on us, because they stimulate the passions of the flesh. Nobody's immune. But when you walk away from it, you begin to get free. And Jesus came to set the captives free. And when you make that bold stand, when you begin to walk against the current and you make that bold stand, this is what will happen for you. In Revelation chapters 2 and 3, where Jesus speaks to the seven churches, to the one who overcomes, to him I will grant to eat of the tree of life which is in the paradise of God. The second church. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. To the third church he says, to him who overcomes, I will give him some of the hidden manna. I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone, which no one knows but he who receives it. That's your pet name. That's God's pet name for you. The special name that he has for you that no one else in the universe has. It's your own special name that only you and your Heavenly Father know. And that's a very precious promise. Then in the next church, he says, to he who overcomes, he shall thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. And to the next church, he says, to he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven, and my new name. And to the next church he says, he who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So seven times Jesus repeats, to him who overcomes, and then he gives seven different tremendous awesome blessings for those who overcome. So it's going to be difficult. He has just not made it easy. He said, he who overcomes as I overcame, I will grant him to share the throne with me as I share the throne with the Father. So there is definitely an overcoming, and part of that overcoming is to crucify the flesh, to crucify the old man, the self, with all the passions of the flesh. Yes, boy, it's so easy to come home from work or whatever you're doing and sit down and veg out in front of the black hole that comes from hell. It's so easy. It's so comfortable. Get your favorite beverage and sit down and veg out in front of the TV for the rest of your life. It's very simple to do. It's so hard to break away from it. But we must overcome. We must turn around and we must begin to seek the Lord with all of our heart and let these things pass out of our grip, that we might obtain the inheritance of the living God. As I mentioned last week, the armchair Christians have to make a decision. If they don't, they have made their decision by not making their decision. So it's very important that we leave that lifestyle behind. Yes, it's comfortable. Yes, what I'm saying is hard to do. And it's required of God that we would not be polluted anymore by this earthly system and this earthly entertainment. Now, while we're in the book of Revelation, I want to draw our attention to chapter 2, the church at Thyatira. Because in this church, we see a great demonstration of compromise within the church. And the devil is always trying to get the church to be in a compromised position, isn't he? And he's very good at it. And he oftentimes succeeds, as he is doing right now. And so, you'll notice that I said that the Fellowship of the Unashamed commitment says to abstain from worldly media, worldly entertainment, and worldly pastimes. It doesn't say secular media or secular entertainment. It says worldly. Now, why did I make that distinguishing when I wrote that? It's because of the Church of Thyatira. Because we have so much compromise within the church. We have so much worldliness that's been brought into the church. There's so much done in our Christian media, in our Christian music, in our worship. There is so much done that is so worldly that we are practically indistinguishable from the world. And more than that, in many cases, we strive to outworld the world. We strive to be more worldly than the world is in our effort to try to gain converts and to attract people's attention and their admiration. We will do more in the world than the world does. That's a terrible place to be, but that's where we are. There's many things done today in the arenas across the United States and Canada. There's many things done in the name of the Lord Jesus that are fit only as scenes out of hell. There's no other way to describe it. They are scenes that are fit for hell only. They do not fit in heaven. These are scenes where we're proclaiming that we're lifting up the Lord, but it's a scene which can't exist in heaven. And why is that? Because God is a God not only of all holiness, but he is a God of all beauty and purity and sweetness and melody. God is the author of all things that are beautiful. And heaven is full of beauties which are indescribable. And so we have on one side the God of this world who specializes in noise, in chaos, cacophony, all things that are set your spirit on edge, all worldly stimulation. And then you have the true living God who is filled with all beauty and purity and goodness. And so if there's anything in your world, in your Christian entertainment, that stimulates worldly desires, or looks like the world, or smells like the world, run away. Just run away. Just leave it alone. Just go away from it. Because the true God, where the true God is, He brings all beauty. And the music of heaven is a music of melody. And it uplifts the spirit. And you see, God is very gracious to go into all these sordid places and to touch this one here and to touch this one here and to touch this musician over here, touch this guy over here playing in the bars. He is very gracious because He loves to rescue people. Just like He rescued me. He rescued me when I was playing lead guitar in the bars for our motorcycle clubs. But let me tell you something. He did not rescue me to leave me there. He rescued me to bring me out. And to cleanse me and to make my life acceptable to Him. And so, little by little and degree by degree, I had to die to what I liked at the time. And I had to surrender these things because they did not promote godliness. And so, to follow after the Lord is a progression from our worldliness to godliness. So, if by the Spirit we are putting to death the deeds of the body, we will live. So, it's a progression. God touches us when we are in those situations and in those states. But by His mercy, He does not want to leave us there. No way. His work is to clean us. And so, if any musician or entertainer becomes touched by God and remains in their worldliness, they have no longer continued to follow the Lord. They're just using His name. But they have not continued to follow Him, because to follow after Christ means a continual crucifixion to the passions of the flesh, the things of our own worldly desires, in order to follow Him with holiness. So we are all to be emerging from unrighteousness into righteousness. That is the method of the Spirit. That's where God is, where the true Spirit of God is. There's always beauty. You ever notice that? Missionary comes into a horrible, despicable, depraved town in some far-off place, China. And before they leave, the place is sweet-smelling and beautiful and clean. Because wherever the Spirit of God goes, He makes things clean and beautiful. Same thing with our lives. They're to become clean and full of light and full of joy. Let me get back to the church at Thyatira. In the church, I'm going to read this starting at chapter 2, verse 18. And to the angel of the church at Thyatira write, "The Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, says this, I know your deeds and your love and your faith and your service and your perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than at first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and teaches and leads my bondservants astray, so that they commit acts of immorality. I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her immorality. Behold, I will cast her upon a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of her deeds. I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am He who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one according to your deeds." Now, as the devil tries to compromise our churches, what he does is he brings compromise leaders into the church. And in this case, that's exactly what he did. So the leader was leading the Lord's bondservants astray. Now, they were not literally committing adultery with this prophetess. What was going on there was that she was promoting a moral looseness within the church. She was allowing a moral looseness to be a part of their community. And so today we see that we have a moral looseness within the church. We have an acceptable level of immorality. Now, I don't mean specifically adultery. We can be very, very, very harsh on adultery, can't we? And if a pastor sins in adultery or a person sins with adultery, wow, off with their heads. And the same people that are wielding the axe will then go home to their TV, their videos, their computer, and they will spend the night in lustful pastimes. And so we draw a line in certain outward things, but inwardly we have all the same passions. And so we have an acceptable level of sin in our lives. And the church has an acceptable level. We have a moral looseness within the church. Like, you'll notice that nobody ever talks like this. Have you noticed that? Did you ever notice that you never heard this message before? In any place? It's because we're all involved in it and nobody can get out of it. So nobody can stand in the pulpit and say anything because everybody goes home and does the same thing. And that's where our dilemma is. But the trouble is, what has become acceptable to man and what is acceptable in the church is unacceptable to God. It's not acceptable to Him. And that's where our big dilemma comes from. And so we see in the 80s when videos first came out, wow, when videos first came out, the Christians were just, they were aghast at the content of these movies. They just couldn't believe it. It was terrible. Now, the same movies that we were so upset about in the 80s have become family entertainment in all the churches, homes, all the Christians, including the pastors. It's on everybody's shelves except where they've been tossed out because they're too mild. That's how far we've come by degrees since the mid-80s. Now, we have a new level of tolerance for all type of perversion and immorality and violence. We have been so conditioned to it that we think it's normal. Well, it is normal to us, but it's not normal to God. And He's the one that we're accountable to. He's the one that we have to worry about and think about. And so, our job and our mission is to raise up a body of people who will say no. Who will say enough, no. No, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm following after the Lord with all my heart. I'm standing up for Jesus. And that's our prayer. That's our prayer, that the spirit of revival would grab hold of people's hearts everywhere, would grab hold of your heart and shake you up and wake you up, so that instead of being asleep, a sleeping version, when the master comes, you'll be dressed and with oil in your lamp, because someone has said, hey, wake up, it's time to get ready for Jesus, He's coming. Well, that's what we're doing. It's time for us to say enough. It's time to get ready for Jesus. Now, some would say, there'll be some here who hear this message and who email or call and say, oh, brother, that's a message of condemnation. No, it isn't. A message of condemnation leaves you with no hope. Condemnation is a hopeless state. This is a message of conviction. and conviction is the most hopeful state that we can ever be in. Conviction is life, because conviction brings repentance, and repentance brings out buckets of mercy poured upon us by the living God. Mercy is poured on people who will just be honest and confess their sin. That's all the Lord is asking for, is that we would have honesty. Like every person in this room and every person who's watching this, we're all filled with various degrees of compromise. And all the Lord wants us to do is be honest and admit it and say, "Oh, Lord, how far I have fallen from my first love. Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me and help me." With that simple statement, the mercy of God pours down on you, and you are made the righteousness of Christ. You are made the righteousness of Christ because of the honesty of saying, "Oh, Lord, what that brother's talking about right now, I'm in it. I want to get out. I don't know how. I'm sorry. Please help me." Mercy on that one. Mercy will come to that one who is honest. It will be poured out. You will be cleansed. You will be healed just by that state of living in a state of repentance. Living in a state of continual repentance is how to have the mercy of God and the grace of God continually flowing through your life. But if you have an acceptable level of sin, as we have today, and all of God's people and all of the church, we have an acceptable level of sin that we don't deal with. You understand? We don't deal with it. We just think it's okay because everybody else is doing it. Now, in that situation, we are under condemnation, because these things are abominable to God. They are awful to God, who is so righteous and holy. But the minute that we just simply admit where we're at, and we raise our hands and say, "Oh God, help me," joy will flood your being. Your sins will be completely forgiven. And you will be born again, again. You will be made into a new creature in Christ. As we begin to lay down one thing after another, you'll have more and more and more and more joy. You see, the more you lay down to God, the more you die to yourself and the sins of this world, the more He fills you with that great joy. Which is how the Fellowship of the Unashamed got started. Seth, my son, decided he wanted more of Jesus, and he laid down his media. And God blessed him with more of Himself. And that's how this all began. Because Seth took that bold step and laid down his media. And so you also can do that same thing. You can also make that commitment. And it could be faltering, it could be a few steps and then fall. That's okay. Just get up and keep walking. You have brothers and sisters that are walking with you, that are praying for you, that are encouraging you. And you belong to a group that is determined to be ready when the Lord comes. Determined to be overcomers. And so I heartily welcome you to this great challenge that we will call upon the Lord while He is near, seek Him while He can be found, and that now is the time that we would begin to prepare for that great and glorious day. Remember, for those who eagerly await the Lord's coming, there will not even be a mention of sin. That is a great hope. And I pray, let's pray. Lord God, I just thank You for each person who has joined us this day. And pray, oh Lord, that Your Spirit would grab their heart. And Lord God, that you would set them free from all compromise, worldliness, worldly lifestyle, all the things that pollute us, Lord God, that you would set each one free and that the spirit of revival would come right now. I pray that the holy fire of God would burn up the chaff in each of our lives, oh Lord God, and that each one would be made brand new in you, brand new, Lord God, and that we will be among that group that is prepared for your coming and looking forward to you with arms raised and eyes uplifted. Lord God, I pray you'd strengthen my brothers and sisters and those who have taken the commitment already. I pray that you'd greatly encourage them and visit them this day and fill them with your joy. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Praise God. There's nothing more to be said except to do these things which we have talked about, to do them. And I look forward to you calling and emailing. Let me know what God's doing in your life. Let me know. Let us know what you need prayer for. We'd be glad to lift you up in prayer. And also write back to you. We'll be happy to write back to you. So if you have needs or if you have any thing you'd like to share, please feel free to call us. Our website is theskies.org and our email is unashamedforchrist@aol.com, and four is the numeral for unashamedforchrist@aol.com. So write to us, visit our website, and keep in touch. We will not be going on tour until we finish our new CD, so we'll be down in the States in late spring. So we look forward to seeing many of you then. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful day.